Welcome to the North Central Baptist Church podcast. We hope you're challenged by the message from our pastor.
All right, open up your Bibles to the book of Ecclesiastes chapter 2, the book of Ecclesiastes, and boy, I tell you, I'm excited about sharing this time in Ecclesiastes with you as we study God's Word today for our Bible study. We have all kinds of people here at North Central, and all people are welcome here, every race, every skin color. We come from different economic backgrounds. We live in different neighborhoods. Some are single, some are married, some just got married, some have been married for a long time. Some have kids, and some don't have kids. Many here today and many watching us are believers, but not all. But we're all here because we all need the gospel. The gospel has the power to put broken lives back together, and it helps us make sense of the things in life that we don't understand. Now, our Lord compels our church family, to make disciples who will in turn make other disciples. And so because of that, our people get together in small groups and one-on-one. We're doing a lot of that by Zoom right now, on Sundays and other days of the week, to intentionally make disciples. North Central is to take the gospel to all people as Jesus commanded his church. Jesus is powerful. The gospel is powerful. Jesus is, say it with me, wonderful. Jesus is wonderful. I want to ask you a question. What will your legacy be? Today's message is the search for legacy. I tell you, I have loved reading Solomon's book of Ecclesiastes because he deals with the nasty now and now. He deals with life as it is, lived under the sun. That's one of the phrases that he uses. And I want to ask you, what will your legacy be? A couple years back, I had the privilege when I was in Dallas, Texas, to go to the Bush 43's presidential library. It's on the campus of Southern Methodist University, and Kelly and I were there, and we went to SMU, and we went to the presidential library. It was really, really interesting to see it. It was an amazing place. It had a lot about 9/11. You know, President Bush was in office at that time, and it had a lot in there about 9/11. It had a lot of history in there, a lot of unique things about his presidency and things like that. It's really about, those presidential libraries are about trying to establish a legacy for those presidents. And there's presidential libraries all over the place. What is your legacy going to be? By the way, what you think is important may not be what is important down the road. I heard the story of Dr. James Dobson. He was a student at USC when he was in college, and he loved to play tennis. And I played a little tennis when I was in high school, and so I was interested in this story. And he said that at USC they had a college tournament where they crowned the very best tennis player at USC. USC is quite a place, and probably a huge, you know, they had a lot of folks there and a lot of students. And so to be the champion tennis player at USC was a big deal. Well, Dobson talked about going through the main corridor at USC, and he saw that trophy that the champion tennis player would receive, whoever won the tournament that year. So he made it his goal to win the USC student tournament. Well, he did it. I think he actually did it twice. And he said, boy, it was with great pride that he would go through and look into that big case at USC, and he see that trophy with his name on it, you know, champion tennis player. Some years later, he said he was sitting in his office, and somebody called him and said, is this Mr. Dobson? He said, yes. He said, well, I work at USC, and he said, I just noticed there's a tennis trophy with your name on it in the dumpster outside of the office. He said, what are you talking about? He said, yeah, they did some cleaning out, and I noticed your name on this trophy. Would you like it? He said, you better believe I'd like it. Well, here's the thing. If he is putting his trust in that as a legacy, I don't think it meant a whole lot. Do you? Here's the thing. Solomon today, this is so good. He gives us insight about what he learned about legacy. He wanted a legacy. And yet life under the sun, which means life on earth, you know, was somewhat discouraging for him. He actually says in one of our verses today, he said, I hated life. We're going to read it. He said, I hated life. It was discouraging for him. So I want you to look in your copy of God's Word. This is Ecclesiastes chapter 2, and I'm going to begin reading in verse 12. If you'll follow along in your copy, I'm going to read from verse 12 to the end of the chapter, all right? Here's what Solomon said. Then I turned myself to consider wisdom and madness and folly. For what can the man do who succeeds the king, or what he has already done? Only what he has already done. Then I saw that wisdom excels folly, as light excels darkness. Verse 14, the wise man's eyes are in his head, but the fool walks in darkness. Yet I myself perceive that the same event happens to them all. Wonder what he's talking about. Death. Sorry to bring that up, but that is what he's saying. Okay, verse 15. So I said in my heart, as it happens to the fool, it also happens to me. And why was I then more wise? And then I said in my heart, this also is vanity. For there is no more remembrance of the wise than of the fool forever, since all that now is will be forgotten in the days to come. How does a wise man die? As the fool. Verse 17. Therefore I hated life, there it is, because the work that was done under the sun was distressing to me, for all is vanity and grasping for the wind. Then I hated all my labor in which I had toiled under the sun, because I must leave it to the man who will come after me. This is so interesting. Verse 19. And who knows whether he will be wise or a fool? Yet he will rule over all my labor in which I toiled and in which I have shown myself wise under the sun. This also is vanity. The word vanity means empty. In other words, it's just there's no result to it. Verse 20. Therefore I turned my heart and despaired of all the labor in which I had toiled under the sun. For there is a man whose labor is with wisdom, knowledge, and skill, yet he must leave his heritage to a man who has not labored for it. This also is vanity and a great evil. For what has man for all his labor and for the striving of his heart with which he has toiled under the sun? For all his days are sorrowful and his work burdensome. Even in the night, his heart takes no rest. This also is vanity. This is a discouraging passage of Scripture, okay? Man, I tell you what, when you announce it's discouraging, you get a bunch of amens, you know it's discouraging, okay? But it turns right here. Aren't you glad for the places in the Bible that says but or nevertheless? I love places in the Bible. Well, it turns right here. Verse 24, nothing is better for a man that he should eat and drink and that his soul should enjoy the good of his labor. This also I saw was from the hand of God. Verse 25, for who can eat and who can have enjoyment more than I? Now, in your version, it probably says something different. I have a note in my version that really draws my attention that phrase more than I really should be without him, capital H, for the Lord. In other words, let me read it again, verse 25. For who can eat and who can have enjoyment without him? Who's him? God. Church family, this is saying to us, we can really enjoy this life. And it doesn't have to be like Solomon said it. It doesn't have to be totally discouraging under the sun. Boy, the sun's out now, isn't it? It's hot. We don't have to be discouraged. We can enjoy the good things of life. As a matter of fact, the Scripture teaches that we are to do that. But here's the thing. How are you going to enjoy it? You ready for this? Without him. Solomon was giving us the answer to legacy. Here's the deal. If you look at life with a lens, a certain lens that has the Lord Jesus in it, a lens that has God in it, you can have the most exciting, most wonderful life in the world. And that's really what he's trying to say. All right, let me finish reading here. Verse 26, For God gives wisdom and knowledge and joy to a man who is good in his sight. But to the sinner, he gives the work of gathering and collecting. This is interesting. That he may give to him who is good before God. This also is vanity and grasping for the wind. It's so interesting how relevant this passage is. Now, our message today is the search for legacy. Solomon's going to give us some great insight. I hope you go out of here skipping today. I hope you go out of here excited today, because so much of this is discouraging. It's chasing the wind. It's vanity. But Solomon gives us some insight that when you live life with the lens of God's Word, when you live life with the lens of the Lord Jesus Christ, you bring it into the New Testament, and you live life with the lens of the Lord Jesus Christ, you see everything different. You see everything exciting. There's three things he focuses on. Here's number one. Both the wise and the fool will eventually die. That's the first point. And verse 16 is really the key to this. Look at this. For there is no more remembrance of the wise than of the fool forever, since all that now is will be forgotten in the days to come. Boy, that's encouraging. Everything you do is probably going to be forgotten anyway one day. And then he says, and how does a wise man die as the fool? Basically, in verse 16 there, he's just saying, look, there's a foolish guy out there, and there is a wise guy out there that lives with trying to understand with his eyes open. And he's trying to live based upon his education, based upon making right decisions. And then it talks about the fool or folly. The word folly means a disdain for truth and a disdain for discipline. Okay? So you got these ideas that are there. And basically he's saying, you know, both of these guys are going to eventually die. In verse 12, you go back to the beginning of our passage, it says, then I turned myself to consider wisdom and madness or stupidity or insanity and folly, okay? Then I turned myself to consider that phrase. In other words, I looked at it from another viewpoint. I looked at life under the sun from another viewpoint. I'm going to look at it based upon death. And he says, basically, I've realized this, both the wise guy and the fool will eventually die. You know, fools are always surprised by circumstances. Oh, no! The wise is the picture of a person who lives with his eyes open and tries to see what's out in front and tries to make plans. Wisdom is obviously the better way, Solomon is telling us. The fool is likened to someone walking in darkness. The wise is likened to someone walking in the light. Well, obviously, you want to be walking in the light, okay? But the wise can see death coming. Look at verse 14. It says, yet I myself perceived, in verse 14 of our passage. It says, the wise man's eyes are in his head, but the fool walks in darkness. Yet I myself perceived that the same event happens to all. So the wise can see death coming and can contemplate it. That's important. But here's what happens to Solomon. His mortality brings soberness into his life. And he realizes that the intellectual will die as the wise will die. Future generations will no more remember the scholar either. You look at verse 16. It says, for there is no more remembrance of the wise than of the fool forever, since all that now is will be forgotten in the days to come. And how does a wise man die? As the fool. So it's really, that doesn't show much of a difference. And then in verse 17, he says, therefore I hated life because the work that was done under the sun was distressing to me for all his vanity and grasping for the wind. Verse 17, he's basically saying this, life has played a trick on me. I live for all this stuff to build a legacy, some type of a legacy, and eventually he's going to even start into financial stuff and works and all the accomplishments that he has. Nothing wrong with that. We studied that last week. That the issue is not that you're more spiritual if you don't accomplish anything. No, you're more spiritual to accomplish it. The question is, have you done it? But the question is, does it have you? In other words, is it what you're looking for to make you happy? That's the key. And so anyway, he almost comes to the place and says, life has played a trick on me. Dr. Wiersbe makes this statement at this passage. He says, no, the Christian should love life. In 1 Peter chapter 3, matter of fact, go over to 1 Peter chapter 3. Find 1 Peter chapter 3. And I want you to look at 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 10. 1 Peter 3:10. It says, for he who would love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. And it keeps on quoting an Old Testament passage in Psalm. Let him turn away evil and do good. Let him seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous and his ears are open to their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. And so Wiersbe says this, no, the Christian should love life, seeking to put the most into it and getting the most out of it to the glory of God. We may not enjoy everything in life or be able to explain everything about life, but that is not important. We live by promises and not by explanations. And we know that our labor is not in vain in the Lord. So, folks, the bottom line is Solomon is saying, look, the fool's going to die, the wise are going to die. So the question is, do you live life with this lens we're talking about, the lens of putting your life in the hands of God and living according to God's ways? So the first thing he notices is both the wise and the fool will eventually die. Number two, you can't take it with you. He realizes that. You can't take it with you. I saw a picture that I've never seen in real life, and I asked him to put it on the screen. I don't know if it's up there yet. Okay, there you go. One thing I have never seen before is this picture. A U-Haul behind a hearse. Because the truth is, you know that you can't take it with you. Look at verse 18. As we look at this passage in verse 18, he says this. Then I hated all my labor in which I had toiled under the sun, because I must leave it to the man who will come after me. Everything you've done, you can't take it with you. And so he makes that point. Basically everything you do is going to eventually stay here. And he makes some observations. First of all, you have to leave it behind. He says, I must leave it to the man who will come after me. It shows the vanity of making your legacy only about the future generations with stuff, just about stuff. Okay? He makes that clear. And then he says, and who knows in verse 19, and who knows whether he will be wise or a fool? In other words, he's saying, I've tried to live by wisdom, and I've accumulated these things, but he said, that crowd that's coming after me, I don't know if they're going to be wise or they're going to be a fool, and they're going to squander everything, all right? So who knows whether he will be wise or a fool? Who knows whether all that you accumulated will go away or not? Now, go backwards in the Old Testament to the book of 1 Kings, all right? I want you to go back to the book of 1 Kings, and I want you to go to 1 Kings chapter 14. 1 Kings chapter 14, verses 25 and 26. Solomon, we learned about this last week, he did all these works, so many great things he did, that the Queen of Sheba came 1,000 miles and she made this statement. She said, not the half has been told. People had told me about all the things Solomon has done. Not even the half of it has been told to me. This is amazing. Well, what happened to Solomon's stuff, all right? This is 1 Kings chapter 14, verse 25. It happened in the fifth year of King Rehoboam that Shishak, the king of Egypt, came up against Jerusalem. Uh-oh. And he took away the treasures of the house of the Lord and the treasures of the king's house. Look at the end of this verse. He took away everything. He also took away all the gold shields which Solomon had made. All Solomon is saying is, look, if your legacy is just stuff, you're going to have to leave it. Maybe the people you leave it to will be wise. Maybe they'll be fools. But if that's the only legacy you have, you better be careful. Don't put your trust in it. And Solomon said, therefore, he said, look, I've hated life. I've seen that all this is vanity and vexation of spirit. When I was a college student here at North Central, we had a college director named Steve Creighton. Some of y'all remember Steve Creighton. I remember being in his group as a college student. He was an awesome guy. And I remember he talked about when he was a little kid, he saved and saved and saved and saved for a baseball mitt or a baseball glove. A baseball mitt's a catcher's mitt, I guess, but a baseball glove. And man, that glove meant everything to him. I mean, he saved up to get the one he wanted. Well, when his little boy Stephen came along, Stephen's a grown man now with kids, but I remember he told the story. He said when Stephen came along, when he got to be about 7 or 8 years old, he said, I gave him my mitt. And then he lost it. And we couldn't find it. And his point was, he didn't do it on purpose. Little Stephen didn't do it on purpose. But he said, that mitt meant so much to me. And I gave it to my son. And my son, it didn't evidently mean quite as much, or he didn't have a good way to take care of it. Anyway, he ended up losing it. And so Solomon is making this recognition of this. He's basically saying, look, you cannot take it with you. And in verse 20, he says, I turned my heart and despaired. He will no longer live by the myth that hard work and well-earned wealth validates one's life. That's not the only way to live. Otherwise, the obsession with fulfillment through work and accomplishments ultimately leads to the crisis point at which one's whole life is seen to have been lived for nothing. So he may leave it to those that squander it. In verse 21, he said, whose labor is with wisdom, knowledge, and skill. Look at verse 21 in our passage here in Ecclesiastes. I'm back in Ecclesiastes. Verse 21, he says, for there is a man whose labor is with wisdom, knowledge, and skill. That's a good thing. He's working with wisdom. He's working with knowledge. He's working with skill. Yet he must leave this heritage to a man who has not labored for it. This is vanity, and this is also vanity. So, and a great evil, he says in that passage. He says, all his days are sorrowful in verse 24. Nothing is better for a man in verse 24 than that he should eat and drink, that his soul should enjoy good in his labor. This also I saw was from the hands of the Lord. And then in verse 23, even in the night his heart takes no rest. Look at verse 23. For all his days are sorrowful and his work burdensome. Even in the night his heart takes no rest. The guy could not even sleep. So he's basically come to the realization of a couple things here. One is, both the wise and the fool are all going to die. Then the second thing is, you can't take it with you, all right? So here's the last thing. And this is the passage that turns the whole text here. I love it. Here it is, number three. Legacy is more about being rightly related to God than amassing great wealth. That's what he comes to the conclusion. In verse 24, nothing is better for a man that he should eat and drink and that his soul should enjoy good in his labor. So let me set you at ease. All your accomplishments and all your great wealth and all the things that you've done, no matter how it ends up, rejoicing that. It's not saying that that's not good. But he says you're going to do that realizing this was from the hand of God. Okay? And then he says in verse 25, who can have enjoyment without him? Verse 25, the blessings are from God, and also, listen to this, enjoying it is from God, is basically what he's saying. Do you know that the Jews in the Feast of Tabernacles would sing and would read this passage of Scripture because the Feast of Tabernacles was their great time of thanksgiving and rejoicing for God's abundant provision of their needs. And so they would, during the Feast of Tabernacles, the Jews would read Ecclesiastes because it's a reminder that the blessings that we have are from the Lord. Paul gave his approval to this attitude when he exhorted us to trust in the living God who gives us richly all things to enjoy. So unless unless you, and I'm scared that you're going to hear that we should not enjoy all the fruits of our labors. No. But you truly enjoy it when you look at it through the lens of God's Word. You truly enjoy it when you realize that all those blessings are from the hand of God. Amen? And that the joy of enjoying them are from the hand of God. Dr. Wiersbe says it this way: apart from God, there can be no true enjoyment of blessings or enrichment of life. It is good to have the things that money can buy, provided you don't lose the things, listen, that money can't buy. It's okay to have the things that money can buy. Go get them. Rejoice in it, because it's all from the hand of God. But while you're doing that, don't lose the things that money can't buy. I like that. I think that's challenging. And then it's interesting. It says, to the sinner in verse 26, look at that. It says, to the sinner he gives the work of gathering and collecting that he may give to him that is good before God. It's interesting that God uses those that accumulate wealth, maybe even for the wrong reason. And it ends up, God uses it and puts it in the hands of God's people. God uses it and puts it in the hands of the Lord's work. General Palmer was the founder of Colorado Springs. You ever been to Colorado Springs? There's Manitou Springs there. There's Pike's Peak. I've never been to the top of Pike's Peak, but you can take that cable, that car thing that goes up all the way to the top of Pike's Peak. It's supposed to be a beautiful, beautiful view there in Colorado Springs. Well, General Palmer, he married a woman from Europe, and he wanted to really make her happy, so he built a castle right by a place in Colorado Springs called the Garden of the Gods. Maybe you've been there. It's a beautiful, beautiful place, piece of property. It's unbelievable. He built this beautiful castle. Well, for a number of reasons, she didn't like living there. I think there was a health issue. She just didn't like being in Colorado Springs as much. So she moved back to Europe. And so here he was. He had spent all that money trying to build that castle. And when he died in 1908, that castle basically sat empty for many, many years. Well, in the early 1950s, they came to Billy Graham and they said, Billy Graham, we think that this might be something you would like to have as a headquarters. And he thought about it. He said, no. He said, I don't need that. I like being in Charlotte. And he was up in somewhere in Canada, Winnipeg, Manitoba, I guess, and he said, you know, but I know somebody that may like it, and he suggested it for the Navigators. The Navigator headquarters is in a castle called Glen Eyrie in Colorado Springs, built by a general who built it for his wife. She didn't like it. Now, I don't know all about the commitment of General Palmer there in his commitment to the Lord, but all I'm saying is the Navigator ministry was the beneficiary of somebody else's labor, and the scripture makes that clear that sometimes that's exactly what happens. Proverbs 13:22 says this: a good man leaves an inheritance to his children's children, but the wealth of the sinner is stored up for the righteous. God uses, sometimes he uses those that have done all these things to store up wealth for the righteous. I talked about the George Bush Library. Well, George Bush Sr., was that Bush 41, right? Is that right? Nobody's saying they even know. Okay. Is that it? Okay. Bush 41, all right? You know, he was only a one-term president. He got out after one term, which doesn't happen all the time, but he did. But he made a speech after the presidency that I thought was interesting, and I can't quote the whole thing, but basically he said this. He said, you want to know what life's like after the presidency? He said, I tell you what, it's wonderful. He said, I make the coffee, Barbara makes the bed, and life is really about faith, family, and friends. And I don't know everything about his faith, but I tell you what, it's interesting that if everything was about him only having that second term, he'd have been a very unhappy man. But it sounded to me like in that statement that he seemed that he was content. I don't know about you. Maybe you have a tennis trophy somewhere. Maybe in some case, there's something you really value. You better watch out. It may be in a dumpster one day. I heard this little rhyme, and I don't even know the source, but it's really impacted my life. And I pray that it would sink into all of our lives today. And it's this: only one life 'twill soon be past. Only what's done for Christ will last. The search for legacy is really about impacting things that go on for eternity. The two things that last forever, the Word of God. The Bible says, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my Word shall not pass away. So invest in God's Word. Get into the Word. Know the Word. Teach the Word. Get the Word as a legacy into the lives of your family. And then the souls of people last forever. Tell somebody about Christ. Last Sunday as we were leaving, I noticed somebody up here had grabbed one of these balls to put in our Hoosier One. Because really the Hoosier One thing, we've been doing it for a while, but you know, it's really what's important, because that represents the lives of people that need to know about Jesus Christ. So here are some takeaways from today's message. Purpose to make adjustments in your life. Purpose to make adjustments in your life. Number two, make a priority of your faith, the Word of God, and the souls of men. And then number three, major on relationships. Major on relationships, because those are the things that create a real legacy. And you can't have that apart from Him. That's the message today. So if you're in love with the Lord Jesus Christ, you've given your life to Christ today, today we go skipping out of the church. Because a rose is a little more beautiful when you look at it through the lens of God's Word. A friendship is a little more valuable. A spouse is more precious. The things God has given you is more precious when you look at it through the lens of God's Word. Now, we can be like Solomon, and we can live our whole life and come to the end of our life and say, you know what, I've just discovered this. Now I'm trying to make up for it. Or right where we are, whatever age you're at right now, you can say, wait a minute, stop. I'm going to start putting my priorities on the things that Solomon has helped me to understand. And I'm going to start looking at life from the lens of God's Word. And I'm going to invest my legacy in my faith in Christ, the Word of God, and the souls of men, and the relationships that I have. I promise you this, if you'll do that, we've been given a great gift, folks. We've been given that truth from God's Word. If you'll do that, you will be glad you did. Amen, church? Let's pray together.
Thanks for letting this small part of North Central Baptist Church experience stream into your life. We hope you will visit us soon and become part of the family of North Central Baptist Church, reflecting Christ's light on Gainesville and the world.